Welcome to the Employee Benefits Show. This is George Grombacher. Joining me today is Jason Castle, an attorney with Jaberg Wilk here in Phoenix, Arizona, and we are going to be talking about divorce and providing you with practical, actionable, and understandable information. Let's get right into it. Jason, for some people that are considering divorce, what factors should they be thinking about?
I feel like I should have a depressed look on my face, first of all, but anyway.
We probably should look sadder than maybe we are, but...
So what factors should somebody consider when they're considering divorce?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the first thing is whether or not divorce is the ultimate decision. If you can save the marriage, then seek out other resources, counseling, pastors, family support, depending on what resources you have available to you. But if that is not going to be an option, then you need to start looking at your life and seeing what you have. I would always recommend going and seeing an attorney early because they will help you with this process. They'll also be able to explain to you what legally are your rights and what is not, and what will help your case and what will not. And I like to have a discussion with my clients when they first come in about, you know, there are things you can do legally, but just because you can do it may not be in your best interest. And what I mean by that is you may be able to, you know, temporarily take the kids. However, on a long term, that may not be in your best interest, and it may actually hurt you and the children as far as it comes to the ultimate outcome for the court. You know, there are real world implications to the decisions you make. And so just because you can make some decisions that may be legally acceptable, they may not ultimately in the long run be in your best interest. But getting back to your original question, things that you can do, get a real idea of your finances.
Okay.
A lot of people come in and they do not have a clue as to what they have or what their spouse has done. So, you know, run a credit report and see what pops up. Sometimes you'll be surprised that you have credit cards in your name that you didn't know about.
Mm.
Know what your account balances are. You should be able to, you know, pull up your bank. Most of them you can do online nowadays. Pull it up, see what your balances are. Start making a list, essentially an inventory of all your financial accounts. You should know who your life insurance is with. You should know who your employee benefits are through. You should know who your retirement accounts are through if you have more than one. Do you have any IRAs that are out there? Did you have a prior employee benefit, i.e. a pension, 401k, IRA, anything with a previous employer that, you know, you didn't roll over at the time of leaving? So find those things out. Identify, you know, who to contact and how to get the information, and create a spreadsheet of assets and debts. The other thing to do is, you know, if you've got cars, find out what your payoff is. Do a Kelley Blue Book. Find out what the value is, because, you know, when you're going through a divorce, the court isn't looking at what is the cost of obtaining the item. It's a garage sale price. And so, when you're talking about your personal items of selling them or what's the value, you know, that $10,000 TV that you bought 3 years ago isn't going to be worth $10,000. You know, you can get a TV pretty cheap now. You might be looking at $300, $400, or $500.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real surprise for some people. So I guess at the early stages, getting the information and starting to organize it is probably one of the most important parts. And it's time consuming. And so, you know, not only do you have the stress of going through a divorce, if you have kids, you've got the stresses that go along with, you know, being a part-time parent or a full-time parent, single parent at that point, because often that's a shift because one parent is, you know, not available or no longer responsible for at least part of the time.
Got it. I would imagine that if two people are able to have a civilized conversation about that, that would be better if they could say, here's our desired outcome. But is that common or uncommon?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer when you say, is that common or not common? I will say, in Phoenix, roughly, the estimates are kind of a range, but somewhere between 85 and 92% of the cases do not have an attorney involved.
Okay.
So when an attorney is involved, there's usually a few things happening there. You have people that have resources in order to afford attorneys, which allows for them to, have the representation and somebody advising them of their legal rights. When everybody thinks of family law attorneys, they think of divorces. However, I will tell you, half of the work that I do is fixing the problems from a divorce. We call that post-decree work. And so half of the work I do ends up being, after the decree is done, fixing a problem that occurred in the decree, readjusting, something like parenting time, child support, spousal maintenance. So correcting things that have transpired as part of the divorce. So I will tell you that I tell every client that I believe, and I truly believe this, that every client will be happier if he or she makes an agreement as to what the outcome is. I believe people are happier when they make that decision rather than somebody telling them what's going to happen. And if you think about it, your judge, I don't care what your case is, you're asking a judge to make a decision about your children, for example. And in Phoenix, half day is not unrealistic for an entire divorce. And so a half day equates to 3 hours. So you get half of that, but you actually don't even get half of that. So you're getting 90 minutes to tell a judge about your children, plus all the other issues in your case, and having him or her make that decision for you. I think I would guess that a parent who has raised a child would know a little bit more than what 90 minutes would encapsulate. So I think people are better off making those decisions. And as I mentioned earlier, I said half my work is post-decree. If you can be somewhat amicable, you don't have to like each other, but be civil to each other and resolve your issues, that's going to help you co-parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens after the divorce, is you end up co-parenting. And if you can co-parent, the level of stress, the number of fights, the amount of tension that the children are picking up on, is much lower in that situation than if, we're throwing pots and pans at each other and litigating everything. So there are lots of benefits to settling. And one of them being your emotional well-being.
Anytime emotions come into the situation, it will cause us to act perhaps irrationally versus rationally. So it's what I'm certainly hearing is, while in an ideal world, both parties would come together and say, here's our desired outcome. But if that's not possible, work to individually understand what you really want to have as your desired outcome. And then be very organized when you do go and meet with an attorney from a financial standpoint, documentation, and everything else.
And that is a good summary. And I will even take that a step further. If you are organized and give some thought to what you want and why you want it prior to meeting with your attorney, not only will you have a more productive conversation with your attorney, but you will also end up saving yourself money. Because you won't have a lot of the correspondences and the back and forths and the changing of positions that, ends up driving up the cost.
Got it. When should they get started with having a conversation with an attorney?
I would encourage them, as soon as they start having those thoughts, to do a consult.
Okay.
Not to start the process, and it's not to... it's just to inform yourself of what are your options, what is it going to look like, how long is it going to take. I mean, that's probably the biggest surprise that a lot of parents have when they come to see me, is just how long the process takes. And, until you have final orders, you're either working off an agreement or you're trying to get to court so that you can get temporary orders. And, that can sometimes take 30, 60 days. And if you've got children, trying to co-parent with somebody that's refusing to co-parent can be really stressful and a lot of tension.
I imagine that few people realize that the potential delay.
The delay is always a problem because, you know, you're in this limbo. Am I responsible? Am I not responsible? Who has the kids? Who can take the kids? And the kids are kind of stuck in the middle because, you know, they don't want to disappoint either parent.
Right. Who else should somebody be talking to about it? Are there other advisors or family or?
All of the above. When you're going through a divorce, your emotions are going to be a little raw. Your stress level is going to be high. You go from a two-income family down to one, or you go from a one-income family to, if you're not the one working, relying on someone who doesn't want to be with you anymore. And that's extremely stressful. So, you know, I don't encourage bringing family members into, you know, your marriage or the skeletons in your closet, if you will, because while you may be able to move on and move forward with your ex-spouse, it seems to be harder for family members. So if you start sharing some of the dirty laundry, some of that never comes clean. So my point in that is talking to a counselor, talking to a priest or somebody in the church that provides some counseling service, preferably somebody that has some training would be best. But, you know, if you don't have that option, then talk to friends. Find a friend that you can confide in that you think has a rather reasonable outlook on life and is willing and able to, you know, be straight with you and tell you when you're not acting rationally.
Got it. And how do I arrange the initial consultation?
Call the office. For me, you would just contact our secretary, or you can contact me directly, 602-248-1000, or my direct line, 602-248-1076. You could also email me, jvc@jbergwilk.com. But bottom line is just give a call and get something scheduled.
And I'm sure that, well, I think that for the most part, whenever somebody thinks about talking to an attorney, they think it's going to be very expensive. How does the initial consultation typically work?
It ranges. For me, I charge the same rate for everything. So my hourly rate is $350. There are attorneys out there that will provide a 30-minute free consult. And, you know, if you're in a pinch and you really can't afford it, that'll get you some information. But the bottom line is 30 minutes really isn't long enough to get a good idea of your financial situation and to understand what your situation is regarding your spouse, your children, and everything else. So I would rather spend the money and the time to have somebody understand what's going on in my life and to advise me based on my specifics rather than just general information.
Got it. Excellent. Well, Jason, you provided your phone number and your email. How do you spell the name of the law firm again?
JABURGWILK.
Excellent. As always, you can click Contact Us in the show notes, and we will get you any additional information that you need to take action and learn more about this topic. Make it a great day.
Thanks.